This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, Matt's voice is currently unwell, so this will actually be Ian reading the news as written by Matt. In their newspaper, published in the Astronomical Journal, Konstantin Batygin and Michael Brown, both from the California Institute of Technology, have announced that they have found evidence for the existence of a massive planet beyond the orbit of Pluto. Michael Brown is known by many professional and amateur astronomers as the man who killed Pluto, as he was one of the main scientists who pushed for demoting Pluto to the status of a dwarf planet. The new object has already been enthusiastically dubbed Planet Nine. However, we currently know very little about this new discovery. Astronomers had already been aware of the unexpected clustering of some of the orbital properties of the distant Kuiper Belt objects. As giant planets in our solar system are expected to disrupt and randomize such a system, an additional mechanism is required in order to keep the clustering in place. Two theories attempting to explain this phenomenon already existed prior to this announcement, but both were ruled to be improbable. The evidence of the new object emerged only from numerical simulations, however. Its parameters are also currently not well known, but is expected to have a mass of about 10 Earth masses and travel around the Sun on a highly elliptical orbit, with a perihelion between 200 and 300 AU and aphelion between 600 and 1200 AU, meaning that at its closest approach it is expected to be 5 times further away from the Sun than Pluto is at aphelion, which is 49 AU. If confirmed, the discovery would follow the history of Neptune's first observations, with Neptune's existence first predicted through the observations of irregularities in Uranus's orbit. The detailed mathematical calculations made it possible to observe Neptune directly in 1846. Planet Nine was greeted with a dose of skepticism by some scientists, as previous such announcements still remain unconfirmed. It is, however, believed that future observations based on these new predictions will allow astronomers to give definite answers on the existence of planets in the outer solar system. Also in the news this month, private space exploration company SpaceX has had its share of good and bad luck. On December 22nd, the two-stage Falcon 9 rocket successfully launched a payload with the 11 Orbcomm OG2 communication satellites. A few minutes later, the first stage of the Falcon 9 rocket landed safely on the ground, back at the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station's Landing Zone 1. This was the first time such a feat has been achieved, and it marks an important milestone towards the development of the fully reusable first stage of the Falcon 9 rocket. It will eventually allow a dramatic reduction in the cost of sending cargo and ultimately humans into Earth orbit. Images released 2 weeks after the landing showed a structurally intact, although slightly blackened, first stage. This particular example will, however, not fly into space again. On January 15th, SpaceX conducted a static firing, during which the performance of all of the engines of the recovered booster was tested. The overall results were very good, although some fluctuations in the engine's thrust were reported. Elon Musk, SpaceX's founder, confirmed that the rocket will now be treated as an artifact, and it is probable it will become a valued piece of a museum exhibition. On January 17th, the company successfully launched another rocket, this time carrying a Jason 3 ocean monitoring satellite. In this case, a landing on a platform floating on the Pacific Ocean was planned. It was, however, unsuccessful, making it the third time after January and April 2015's failed attempts that this has happened. A video released shortly after the landing shows the first stage landing vertically, as expected, but then starting to tilt over to one side and ultimately hitting the deck and exploding. The possible cause of this mishap, according to a post from Musk, was ice buildup due to a heavy fog, which led to one of the 4 landing legs failing to latch securely. The company is hoping to be back on track with a successful barge landing in 2016 as they start to feel the pressure from their competitors, including Blue Origin, owned by Amazon's founder and CEO Jeff Bezos, who have managed to send their new Shepard booster to space and land it safely on the ground twice in the last 2 months. And finally, lovers of exotic cuisine may be in for a treat. A paper, authored by CSIRO astronomer Keith Bannister and his colleagues, describes new structures in our Milky Way. These invisible lumps of gas are reported to be shaped like lasagna sheets, noodles, or hazelnuts. Using a new survey technique, the team was able to observe a variation in the light curve of a quasar. Called extreme scattering events, these phenomena were first observed more than 30 years ago, and so far only a handful of them have been recorded. The team has observed a sample of around 1,000 active galaxy nuclei every month, looking for a highly structured change in their radio spectra between 4 and 8 GHz, using the Australia Telescope Compact Array, or ATCA. 2 months after the start of the survey, Bannister and his colleagues were able to identify an ESE in the direction of PKS 1939-315, a quasar in the constellation of Sagittarius. The characteristics of the first observations showed this particular ESE was possibly still in progress, making it the first real-time observation of such an event. After the initial discovery, more frequent monitoring was started, this time with a wider frequency range between 2 and 11 GHz. Other instruments were also used, including the Very Long Baseline Array, or VLBA, which was used to obtain geometry and angular scale information, the Gemini South Telescope, which was used to provide information on reddening due to dust, and the Small and Medium Research System 1.3 meter telescope, which was used to obtain optical images of the source. Observations from these telescopes showed no variability. Thanks to the wide bandwidth of ATCA, the team was able to get better constraints on the lens model using a new method of computing a one-dimensional slice through the lens. Two possible geometries were considered, an anisotropic one equivalent to an edge on sheet, and an axially symmetric geometry, which is used for modelling spherical clouds and shells. The obtained results were inconclusive, however. The electron column density distributions throughout the slice were similar for both models. Both geometries exhibited variations in their electron column density consistent with the diverging lens model, and did not support the possibility of a converging lens, making it possible to rule out that particular model. The most probable explanation is that we are looking at a sheet of material edge-on, or, as the team member Dr. Cormac Reynolds said, we might be looking down the barrel of a hollow cylinder like a noodle, or at a spherical shell like a hazelnut. It is expected that additional observations will provide further information on the distribution and geometry of these elusive lenses. This, in turn, should tell us more about the composition of the interstellar medium in the Milky Way.